superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
The Spartans win the ball game.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And they down Michigan.
There's the door!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Bills get a late takeaway. Justin Zimmer forces a fumble.
On that final offensive play with Newton's fumble, how were you feeling after that moment?
How do you think we felt?
There's the door!
Today's guests, host of Pro Football Talk on Peacock, Mike Florio, ESPN broadcaster Joe Tessitore, plus Overreaction Monday, and more. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number one of day number one in the month of November here on the Rich Eisen Show in 2020, right here on Peacock. We welcome our simulcam audience, our simulcast audience on Peacock Streamer, NBC Sports on Peacock, along with our radio audience, terrestrial and satellite. Good to see Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo in their
Rich.
Posts
morning,
across
man.
The way. Good to see you guys right there.
Good to see you, man.
Also good to see settling into his seat, Rich Eisen Show social media grandmaster TJ Jefferson, whose higher register that went down to wrap up our show last week was maybe Ben DiNucci can be the real thing for the Cowboys. And I'll tell you this, the Dallas Cowboys have had only three halftime leads so far this year through 8 weeks of football, and one of them was last night. And that's the way I'd like to start our Sunday Night Football show. The Sunday Night Football game that went down on NBC last night, we'll start our show with that. Because the NFC East, my higher register, is that hey, maybe the Eagles will get healthier and win this division with an above 500 record. And if I had to, you know, place a bet, I thought that my higher register had an opportunity of being real more than TJ Jefferson's, but I'll tell you what. Fourth quarter last night, Cowboys had the ball with a chance to take the lead. And you saw Mike McCarthy was more animated going after referees, and I saw him doing a lot of clapping last night on the sideline. Did you not, Chris? Didn't you see that?
I did.
You did a lot of clapping.
I noticed. Hey, man.
Look, guys, you got to motivate as well. Okay, as well.
It seems to me that the note he might have gotten was clap more.
Wow.
Coach less, clap more, to use the Hamilton phrase. Because, well, I mean, his quarterback is from James Madison, if you want to talk about founding fathers.
Wow. I like what you did there.
Coach less, clap more. It was working. I'll tell you, man, I last night when the Eagles were trick playing themselves into a halftime deficit and, you know, out of the halftime locker room, Michelle Tafoya, part of the Sunday Night Football broadcast, says Doug Peterson said Carson just needs to be Carson. Don't do too much, which is what we talked about with Jim. Jim, we talked about it, Jim, when Doug Peterson was on this program last week. Carson, don't do too much. Do less. Play more. Don't think. Go for it. And, man, he turned the ball over four times last night. If you told me that a quarterback in the game last night was going to turn it over four times, I'd say it was a seventh-round draft choice from James Madison, who hadn't played a game in the NFL as a starter, in Ben DiNucci. But I honestly don't understand sometimes the way things go. And Wentz, and they were trick playing themselves and bringing in Jalen Hurts, which I understand is the proper thing to do when you need to put more playmakers on the field. But you got Dallas Goedert back, and this kid, Travis Fulgham, has more fantasy points than any wide receiver in the NFL since he started playing with the Eagles. He is terrific. He is a guy who could separate. How many times do you know a wide receiver who's got talent but can't separate? This guy's got talent, and he can separate. And he is, in fact, separating himself amongst all wide receivers in the NFL. He scored a touchdown in this game that put them on top that was not only necessary, but he made the play, and Wentz made the throw. And it was, can I say the word ugly with the F in front of it? Because that's the word we would use for it back in high school.
Yeah, it was
terribly ugly, but the Philadelphia Eagles are 3-4-1. They're going into their bye week, after which you have to think they will come out nice and healthy. Miles Sanders will come back healthy. More of their offensive line will come back healthy. Jalen Reagor, who hadn't played since the first couple of weeks of the season, came back and scored a touchdown and the two-point conversion. And the Philadelphia Eagles in this dreadful division are sitting in the catbird seat, while the Dallas Cowboys sit at 2-6, coming off of at least a game where they looked alive. Their problem is, here come the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up next, man. And the Steelers had a remarkable game yesterday, where the slobber knocker that we were all hoping for between two teams who plain don't like each other, to use the Keith Jackson phrase, a rivalry that we saw take a backseat last season because Ben Roethlisberger was out. And even though, you know, Pittsburgh almost won in Baltimore last year with Mason Rudolph, just doesn't have the same oomph. And the Steelers made the plays. Minkah Fitzpatrick with the breakup at the end of the game to seal the deal. T.J. Watt making plays. Did you see that one time where Watt took both the running back and Lamar Jackson, meeting them both at the mesh point? Basically saying, I got this.
Yeah.
It was time to play some tag, to use the Watt family phrase.
Nice.
And he chased them both down. And Roethlisberger making the plays. Chase Claypool, who Michael Irvin called out, I mean, in the most gentle Irvin of ways during Sunday game day morning, that, hey, kid, you've shown to be very special. Now you're getting circled by defensive coordinators. You have to understand, don't get frustrated. They're going to start covering you like you have earned to be covered in the NFL, and you got to start fighting through it. He came up with the go-ahead touchdown. Running game was doing it when it needed to. They come back on Baltimore. Third quarter hit him in the mouth coming out of the locker room, and they are still undefeated, and they are the most impressive team in the AFC. Absolutely. And one of the neat things about the football scheduling gods is that the Steelers and Chiefs don't play each other. So we're going to have to be wondering about that. Potentially all the way into January. And I will say this about the Ravens, who, as you know, I've been very high on for two straight years. I was way in front of the Lamar Jackson train that built a head of steam into him winning the MVP award and winding up on the cover of Madden. I picked the Ravens to win the Super Bowl, to get to the Super Bowl this year to take on Tampa. I am having second thoughts about it, just like everybody else. Because we have yet to see Lamar Jackson and this team, when they have been hit in the mouth in a game where they have to come up with points, succeed at it. We have yet to see it. Now, I know, again, they lost two of their offensive linemen in one series, and that's crucial. Ronnie Stanley, who at least signed his long-term contract 2 days before
crazy
breaking his ankle and tearing ligaments in it. He is expected to be back by next season. That is a huge loss. I get it. But everybody is losing somebody of significance. The Pittsburgh Steelers lost their man in the middle, their quarterback of their defense, Devin Bush. They basically lost that guy in the middle. They've won both games since he's torn up his knee. Good teams fight through it, and the Ravens almost did it. I understand they had an opportunity to throw it in the end zone at the end of the game, but you can't leave it up to chance like that. It seems that when they need to score as many points as possible, they don't do it. And Lamar has yet to take the team on his back in a game like this and say, I've got it, with the exception of the Patriots last year, I would say. That's the only time that I've seen that. Now, Ravens fans, you can call me and say, no, there was... And then games like this, he will get part of the blame. He's a quarterback, and I know he's mature enough to accept it despite his young age. And you saw Hollywood Brown. Did you see what he tweeted out? Mm-hmm. Now, we have him in fantasy for Whirlpool of Despair, which is somewhat in desperate straits.
We're drowning in the whirlpool.
But so we pay more attention to it. But here he is. What's the point of having soldiers when you never use them in case you want to? There's no italics in Twitter, so he then put in parentheses never with two exclamation points capitalized. There is some weaponry. Dez is coming. We'll see how it goes. Maybe Dez is that physical receiver who can win a 50-50 ball for Lamar when it's necessary.
Yeah, Marquise Brown, one catch, 3 yards. It was for a touchdown, but come on.
Zero. Point zero. And then when they did go for it on fourth down later in the game that required them because they didn't get any points because they were stopped, it's Lamar up the middle. It's weird. It's frustrating how the points don't rack up for this offense. Unless they're hitting you in the mouth and they're going downhill on you and you can't score in their defense. I mean, that seems to be one of the only ways for them to win a game is they get up on you and you can't come back on them and they're in a rocking chair with Lamar pulling some crazy ass plays and making the throws necessary and not turning it over and letting the defense do its work. I'd love to see the Ravens win a game like this. I really, really would.
So, Rich, are you putting that more on, you think, play calling and not so
much
on the
No, it's a lot of circumstances. No, it's circumstances. It's circumstances. I mean, Dobbins came up with 113 yards rushing yesterday, and I know that their linemen go down. But to me, play calling and execution, like at the end of that game, you've got Mark Andrews, you do have Hollywood Brown, you've got, I mean, what's with the running it right up the middle? So the defensive line of Pittsburgh can do their job. You're essentially saying, I'll go right at your defensive line, the strength of your defense. And then when it's necessary to have to tie the game in the last second, you've got Minkah Fitzpatrick and the rest of the back end patrolling that goal line. Mm. These are not the best opportunities to win a game. And the Steelers are taking on the Cowboys next and should be 8-0. How about them apples? Ugh. Which would be, I believe, the best start in Steelers history. They've never started 8-0. I think the 78 team that we've been talking about a lot started 7-0. I might be wrong. Just throwing it out there. Speaking of offenses that are completely maddening to watch, your clubhouse leader through 8 weeks of play in the National Football League are the Chicago Bears, hands down. Hands down. I mean, Troy Aikman yesterday calling the game expertly, as always, with Buck. He was having absolutely none of Nagy play calling and Foles execution. He was saying, it's tough to watch, is what he said. As the Bears remarkably were coming from 10 down on the Saints in the fourth quarter to force overtime, in which they had the ball, a chance to win. Of course, Foles got sacked twice. Buck was even pointing out the number of times that Foles would take the ball from center or from shotgun and then just start backpedaling immediately. And Aikman pointing out, step up in the pocket. And Foles is a Super Bowl MVP. It's crazy. It's nuts. It is nuts to be a Bears fan and watch this because you know everybody's screaming for Trubisky now, and you know everyone who's screaming for Trubisky knows deep down he's not the answer. And he could be for like 2-3 weeks like Foles has appeared to be, and then poof, mirage. And I mean, you see Allen Robinson yesterday as I think it was Aaron Andrews pointed out, needed a minute. You see that? He needed a minute after an offensive series did not go well for the Bears, which is virtually all of them. He stepped away from it, like a timeout, like what we tell our 12, 9, and 7. You need a timeout. Take a breath. You know, go to your room. Think about what's going on. Right? And then the Bears now at 5-3, officially sniffing it. They're no longer a wild card team because everybody's rampaging in the NFC West, which we'll get to in a minute.
A three-team wild card is taking some time to get used to.
Well, but it's fun. I'll tell you what, we're all thinking if somebody's going to be limping in, and I'm telling you, as I told you, there is going to be a 10-win team sitting at home watching whoever's winning the NFC East, which is presumably the Eagles, hosting a playoff game. It'll be tough. It'll be tough for somebody to have 10 wins, sit at home, and then watch a team that's under 500 host a playoff game. But that's coming. I told you that in Four Downs last week. Bears are 5-3. And one of the most frustrating offensive teams to look at. They're next up against Tennessee, which just lost to Cincinnati and is now in a Donnybrook for the division. Our choice of the Colts winning the AFC South suddenly is coming around.
Well, stand by on that, Rich.
And then after that, they take on a Minnesota team that shocked Green Bay yesterday because Dalvin Cook is unstoppable, 4 touchdowns for him. And then after a bye, it's a Sunday nighter at Green Bay. And then we are on and cracking. Bears need to start pulling it together. And I'll tell you this about the New Orleans Saints. I'll tell you about this team. Say what you will about Breeze. Doesn't throw it down the field. Doesn't move the offense along as necessary. It's all bubble screens and this and that and misdirection, whatever. Well, it's working. It's working. They have not been whole. They have lost somebody who had, Chris, look it up for me. I think Michael Thomas had 19,000 catches last year, right? That was an NFL record, 19,000? I might be, I mean.
Not in one game, okay, that would be a record.
Great. That's a great Kenny Mayne line. Without him, and Emmanuel Sanders has been out, in and out, and we hope he's well.
149 last year.
They had a hurricane blow through New Orleans. They had to deal with that while preparing to go and deal with the Chicago Bears defense, which is top five, until they start tearing up that locker room because the offense is just absolutely putrid. And that kid Wims, I mean, what's he doing?
Oh, jeez.
I mean,
hasn't anyone learned?
Javon Wims just went up and hauled off. Now, he says that Chauncey Gardner-Phillips spat at him.
Well,
okay, which is, as you know, is the, I mean, we go way back to Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, my bad, that he says that, Wims said, that C.J. Gardner-Johnson spat at him. And we know the old Romanowski, Terrell Owens.
All that stuff.
He was accused of doing that.
Don't spit.
So that's what he said when he just hauled off and hit somebody. And Gardner-Johnson, I mean, he's got to be sitting here saying, what gives? Because wasn't he the guy that Michael Thomas hit, too? Everybody's hitting him. He's like the punching bag for the New Orleans Saints, who keep taking the figurative hits and winning. Breeze finding Kamara over and over and over again, and then finds Taysom Hill for the touchdown. Two quarterbacks hooking up for a score against a team who can't get a single point from their quarterback without it feeling like you're pulling a tooth. And now the Saints have the Bucs, who I'm assuming are going to win tonight in New York, setting up 6-2 versus 5-2. I'm all in on that on Sunday Night Football for Week 9. Holy crap. That's what you're looking for. Because the Saints, if they win that game, they would be in first place with the sweep of the season series tiebreak sitting in their back pocket, sitting pretty. And the Bucs need it. They need to win tonight, and they got to win Sunday night. They need it. Because the Saints have taken all the hits from COVID, from one teammate hitting another, a hurricane, Breeze hearing that he's old and gray and he can't hoist it down the field more than 10 yards. And here they are, 5-2, after beating the Bears in frigid Chicago. Say what you want about the Bears' offense, and I've said how frustrating it is. It's impossible to watch. But the Saints still had to go out and execute, and they did. And it's a two-team race in the NFC South, and that Sunday night game is going to be awesome. But first up is a Monday Night Football game tonight, which we'll discuss. There is some COVID-19 related news that has broken just mere moments before we went on the air to discuss. There is also what is going on in the NFL, the trade deadline tomorrow to discuss. We will discuss all that with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, as well as the first show that day starts your day here on NBC Sports on Peacock, Pro Football Talk Live, and also the last show of your NBC Sports on Peacock day for most of the week, and that would be PFT PM. Also on this show is Joe Tessitore. Joe Tess had one of the great calls of the weekend because it involved his son. And my kids are big Joe Tess fans because they love Holy Moly. So we got to get Joe Tessitore on the show and talk a little bit of college football, as the game that he was calling involved his son making a big play for Boston College, which almost pulled off the upset against Trevor Lawrence-less Clemson. And it looks like Clemson will be also without Trevor Lawrence against Notre Dame, which is a game that's on NBC this weekend, which we'll be talking about all throughout the week here on NBC Sports on Peacock. And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, our poll question. I know we're going to talk college football as well about my alma mater. I'm ready to do it. Also, still ahead on this program, we didn't even talk to him or the Chargers being Chargers again. And the trade in which an individual gained 15 games in the standings with one stamp of a processing of trade papers. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this Monday, first day of November edition of the Rich Eisen Show live on NBC Sports on Peacock and more. Hey, everybody. If you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, certainly these days. But you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. How about that? Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It is time for you to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place instantaneously. Join over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now. So let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/rich. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/rich. netsuite.com/rich. We're back here on Peacock. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Our radio audience will rejoin us in a second. That's when Mike Florio will be kind enough to join us in just a mere matter of seconds. Brockman, you have a poll question dialed up?
Just posted at Rich Eisen Show right now.
Okay, what is it?
Most shocking result from NFL Sunday. Bengals beat Titans. Vikings win in Green Bay. Dolphins win Tua's debut. Steelers win in Baltimore.
Well, the thing about Tua's debut that was kind of shocking is the numbers. If you just looked at the numbers, if you placed the numbers in front of me, if you put them on a piece of paper and slid it past my eye gate, to use a Michael Irvin phrase, prior to kickoff yesterday, in terms of time of possession and amount of total yards the Rams racked up compared to Miami's, I would have thought it would have been a total beatdown. Certainly since Aaron Donald had never, I didn't know this, lost to a rookie quarterback before. That never happened. And then if you had told me with all those numbers that Aaron Donald would force a fumble in the first possession, I would have told you were crazy that Miami had won. And we're back on the Rich Eisen Show radio, as well as simulcast right here on Peacock. We'll talk about Tua. We'll talk about everything that's going on in the NFL, including this story that broke shortly before we went on the air. Marlon Humphrey, who played against the Steelers yesterday, tweeted out that he, quote-unquote, has the Rona. I'll be back healthy soon, hopefully. That's what he tweeted out. Now, here's the issue. This is based on, according to my colleague Tom Pelissero at the NFL Media Group, based on a test that was taken prior to yesterday's game. So A.J. Dillon just tested positive for COVID-19, and it appears that these are all tests that were taken prior to yesterday's game. Did two players for the Ravens and Packers, respectively, play a football game positive with COVID-19 against the Vikings and Steelers, respectively? Let's discuss all this right now with our friend Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, Pro Football Talk Live, which is the first show to kick off NBC Sports on Peacock every day, and then PFT PM, that's later on today on this great streaming channel. How are you, Mike?
Doing great, Rich. How are you?
So let's start with this. What do you know about these tests and the positives?
Well, you know, the league began the season and went through the first 5 weeks of the regular season without testing players on game day. That's a fairly new dynamic. And what it shows us is there still is that possibility that a guy can have a nasal swab performed on a Sunday morning, and they can get the results on Monday, and the conclusion will be, if it's a confirmed positive, that the player was positive for the virus, shedding virus in the locker room before the game, on the field before the game, on the field during the game, on the sideline during the game, and in the locker room after the game, which now means for the Ravens and for the Packers, they have to hold their breath and see what may happen over the next few days because of the incubation period. And, Rich, one of the things the NFL realized just in the past week, the sidelines present a greater risk in the NFL's estimation of spreading the virus than the field does.
No kidding.
Because on the sideline, you see it all the time. Guys are sitting right next to each other, extended stretches, no masks, and so the NFL has recommended social distancing and mask wearing on the sidelines, but I didn't see a lot of it yesterday, and that may be the next step in the agreed protocols, that it'll be mandatory to distance and to wear masks on the sidelines on game day.
Now we all have to hold our breath because, again, it's not just the Packers with the running back A.J. Dillon or the Ravens with corner Marlon Humphrey. It's the Steelers and also the Vikings, who have dealt with this before with another team that's tested positive. It was Houston, if I'm not mistaken, that was involved with that, or another team of some sort earlier this season. But there's also an early game this week. The Packers, I mean, the incubation period, if we're talking about Dillon potentially spreading it around yesterday, might not, I guess, come to fruition before game day on Thursday. Mike?
And the one good thing for the NFL so far, the only data point, you refer to that Vikings game. It was the Titans game week
three,
when the Titans were on the front end of their outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
There was no crossover between Titans players and Vikings players. And the league has been very confident, Rich, that in an open-air setting, on a football field, even in a dome, because they have state-of-the-art ventilation systems there that have been engineered in advance in the event of an aerosol terrorist attack, and they don't talk about that stuff much, but the precautions are there. They believe the air can be cleaned out quickly and is cleaned out quickly, and so it's a far less of a risk than it is being in a confined space. So they believe there won't be on the field. They don't believe guys are in enough sustained contact to give it to each other. So we'll see. We have one game from 5 weeks ago where it could have happened and it didn't, and now we've got two games from yesterday where it could have happened, and we'll see. But you're right. Look, we've got a Thursday night game. What do? You just go forward and just, as there are more positives, guys are knocked off of the lineup, and then you take the contacts out of the loop as well? Do you do everything you possibly can to put people on the field on Thursday night and get that game in? Do they move that game to Sunday or Monday or Tuesday of the following week? I mean, there's some flexibility, but not much, because the bye weeks are no longer an option and for most teams. And so, you know, at some point, if you're talking about a postponement, you're talking about an 18th week. So, yeah, these are a bunch of issues that are going to keep coming up until there's a home market bubble for 32 teams that is effective and that keeps guys from testing positive. You're going to have people who go home. They go out into the community. The numbers are going up coast to coast. So you're going to inevitably have guys who get it when they're not at work.
Then I guess the last thing on this subject matter is, so, because I was, you know, very critical that Major League Baseball would have a World Series game where somebody tested inconclusive the day before and then found out that the test taken day of game, he was in fact COVID positive and removed from a game in the seventh inning. So are we saying that even though NFL is testing every single day, including game day, the fact that they're taking these tests on game day and then sending them elsewhere as opposed to maybe having a rapid test on site, which might not be as accurate, that we're seeing potentially a loophole here where players could test positive and, you know, play a game positive, and we may see somebody removed in the third quarter of a game because of it, potentially.
You know, I asked the league last week after the Dodgers game whether or not it could happen that there would be a test result that comes back during a game, and what would the league do?
Mm-hmm.
The league said it's unlikely, but it's possible that that would happen, and they would immediately remove from play a player if they get the positive result back. So much of it, though, and this is old school low tech, how far the van has to drive the samples to the lab or how far the plane has to fly. I mean, it has nothing to do with the actual testing technology. It's how long does it take to get the sample into a spot where it can be tested. So the closer the game site is to the labs that the NFL has throughout the country that are handling these samples, the less time for the turnaround. And, you know, it would have to be a night game. The players for night games are tested mid to late morning. So you get an 8 o'clock start, you know, an 8:30 start, whatever the case may be. That's when it potentially could happen that we would have a guy yanked in the middle of the game. And the NFL is very confident that if it's a championship game, if it's a Super Bowl, that the player will not find his way out of the isolation room onto the field to celebrate with his teammates and anyone else who may be there. The league is very confident that they will not see that happen. And after we've seen it with baseball, the NFL can't say, well, we never saw that one coming.
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show, host of Pro Football Talk right here on NBA Pro Football Talk Live and PFT PM right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. And there's also, of course, his stellar website and Twitter account. Let's talk about the trade deadline a day away. Is there anything popping that you're hearing right now?
Well, you know, a week ago, the sense was any deals that were going to happen would happen by Wednesday or Thursday of last week because of the COVID-19 protocols, because of that 5-6 days that you have to wait to actually join a new team. You want to do the deal by Thursday so the player can then show up and practice the following Wednesday. That's the first major work day for a Sunday game. Now that we've gotten through that, and we're at the point where, hey, if you do trade for somebody, you're not going to have him week 9 because of this waiting period that automatically kicks in. Even though the guys are tested every day on the team they come from, it makes no sense that doesn't translate. It's the same tests, it's the same procedures, but it still doesn't translate. So now I think what we're going to see is teams who understand, whoever we get, we don't have the guy until week 10. So maybe we give up less than we would have given up to get him. And plus, you have one more week of games. You have teams that maybe were thinking about buyers, like the Lions. They bought last week with Everson Griffin. Maybe they would have been thinking about trying to get Stephon Gilmore from the Patriots if they had beaten the Colts yesterday. Now they lost. Maybe they don't do it. Team like the Jets falls to 0-8 yesterday. Avery Williamson gets the all-time gift of any holiday. All of them rolled into one to go from 0-8 to 7-0 in Pittsburgh, and he's thrilled with that. You know, not that the Jets wouldn't have done it if they'd won yesterday, but still, having that one extra game, that one extra week, that one extra number in the win column or the loss column, that really does help crystallize. And also injury. Remember the Carson Palmer trade from 2011? Broken collarbone for Jason Campbell with the Raiders. Deadline 2 days later. Raiders give up way too much for Carson Palmer. So there could be an injury tonight in the Tampa Bay game that causes the Buccaneers to scramble tomorrow to fill a need that may arise in that game against the Giants.
Where do you stand on the subject matter of Trevor Lawrence staying in school to avoid the Jets? Everybody's talking about that right now. I'd love to get your two cents on what you're hearing and what your thoughts are on that, Mike Florio.
Well, Rich, I think going back to Clemson and playing for free isn't the answer. I think that what you say is, I don't want to play for the Jets. Go ahead and do the John Elway, Eli Manning thing. I don't want to play for the Jets. I don't want to play for the Jaguars. I don't want to play for this team. I don't want to play for that team. And if you draft me, I'm not going to sign a contract. And I'll sit out the whole year, and you will have wasted that pick, Bo Jackson style, and I'll re-enter the draft next year. Now, the problem is you're always at the mercy of being selected by the worst organization in football that year, absent a trade or some kind of a fluke where you fall down the board like Lamar Jackson did, or like Patrick Mahomes did, because the guys who really believed in Patrick Mahomes kept their mouths shut, and it didn't get out that Mahomes is the guy. Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Mike McCarthy were the three who were really on to Patrick Mahomes, and they were discreet about it. You know, the cat's out of the bag on Trevor Lawrence. Now, maybe if he doesn't play next year, others will emerge and he'll slide down, but still, you're always subject to that involuntary process. So I'm a big believer in guys pushing back against the concept of them being told where they're going to start their NFL careers. They're allowed to pick which college they go to. I think they should be allowed to pick which NFL team they go to. I know that would be a subject that would fill up an entire 3 hours.
Oh, my God, yes.
If we were to go down that rabbit hole. But I think that a guy who has leverage, a guy like a Joe Burrow, a guy like a Trevor Lawrence, should be willing to say, I don't want to go there. It worked for Elway and Eli. Not enough guys do it. And so the last thing he should do is go back to Clemson, Rich. What he should do, if he doesn't like the menu of options of teams that may pick him make his wishes known privately, publicly, or both to avoid playing where he doesn't want to play.
Well, I guess the one way to handle it would be to telegraph to him sometime, obviously, when it's obvious they're going to get the number one overall pick. The Jets still have a lot more losing to do, and there are still some one-win teams hot on their heels. It would be to telegraph who's going to be the next coach, in a way, right? I mean, that it's clearly not going to be Adam Gase who's into whose hands Trevor Lawrence is placed. Why does he still have a gig right now, Mike?
Well, I keep thinking that the bye week is going to be the moment that it happens, and if it doesn't happen then I don't think it'll happen at any point this season. They've got one more game against the Patriots before they enter their bye. They just look, I feel bad for Adam Gase. You look at the last 3 years. You know, he took a team to the playoffs in Miami, and then the 2017 season had the Ryan Tannehill torn ACL early in training camp, and they had all sorts of schedule changes. They ended up burning their bye week one that year because of a hurricane and played 16 straight games. And it was, and you know, look, everybody deals with injuries and those things. But it just feels like it's been a snowball that just keeps building for Gase wherever he is. It hasn't been good with the Jets. They're not competitive. We've talked about this before with the Panthers. You look at how they're playing while they're rebuilding. The Jets are just not competitive. It felt like they were a little competitive yesterday until, you know, Patrick Mahomes did Patrick Mahomes things, and that was that. But I just feel like it's got to happen, right? It's got to happen during the bye week. And my only hesitation is it's always hard for reasonable minds to predict the behavior of unreasonable minds. And I just feel like that there are unreasonable minds running the Jets. And so, you know, if Christopher Johnson isn't willing to do it, then it's not going to happen. And if Woody Johnson isn't going to pick up the phone and say, what the hell are you guys doing over there? Make this move. Then it won't happen. But I agree with you, Rich. Part of this is letting Trevor Lawrence's people know what's going to happen in New York in 2021. And there's a window in, you know, early January. Once it's clear that the Jets have, quote-unquote, earned the first pick, there's a couple of weeks before Trevor Lawrence has to make his final commitment. So there can be some back-channel discussions about what he would like to see and whether or not the Jets would be willing to do it, and then he's going to have a decision to make. Do I declare for the draft or do I not? But I still think he should, and then continue to work the process. And if he doesn't like the outcome, if he doesn't like who picks him, then just say I'm not showing up and hope that that forces a trade and be willing to sit out the whole year if need be.
Couple more minutes left with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about Miami. It sure looks like the coach there knows exactly what he's doing. And by that, I mean he brought kind of the Belichick, Brian Flores game plan against the Rams and just kept hitting Goff in the mouth. And that, along with some special teams play, is what helped with Tua, who looked like a rookie, as you might imagine, against a defense like that. But they seem positioned, not just for this year, but with draft choices galore because of the Texans trade. They look to be well positioned in Miami. Would you agree with that, Mike?
Oh, absolutely, Rich. And I think one of the reasons you put Tua on the field is there's a chance the Texans are going to be in position to draft Trevor Lawrence. And that means you as the Dolphins are in position to draft Trevor Lawrence. And it could be the same thing the Cardinals went through a couple of years ago where they moved on from Josh Rosen after one season because Kyler Murray fell into their laps. So, yeah, absolutely. I think they've got something good going on. It wasn't Tua yesterday. He had 93 yards passing. When you look at the statistics out of that game, I've never seen a more jarring difference. 31 first downs for the Rams, 8 for the Dolphins, 471 net yards of offense for the Rams. I think 150 for the Dolphins or something ridiculous like that. And you would have never dreamed that the Dolphins would have won that game. But it was the defense. It was Brian Flores. And this is something Chris Sims was saying all week on PFT Live. Flores was there in New England as they got ready to play the Rams in Super Bowl 53. He knew what to do to slow down that offense, and they did it repeatedly. They built the lead and they held on. So I like what they're doing, but yeah, they're going to need to see Tua eventually do something more than he did yesterday.
Well, I mean, then next up is Kyler Murray in Arizona, and that's definitely something I can't wait to see in Week 9. Before I let you go, I'll just give you an omnibus. What's the story you're looking at right now that's developing or football-wise over the next few weeks that you're eager to see play out?
Mike. I mean, I hate to go back to where we started, but I really do just kind of keep constant watch of where trends are moving with the virus. I'm amazed and I'm impressed that the league has been able to get through 8 weeks, and we'll assume, knock on wood, that tonight's game doesn't get derailed by some last-minute positive test or last-minute outbreak, but to get through 8 weeks and have all the games played. Now, they all weren't played when they were supposed to be played, but they were all played. I keep worrying about how that plays out over the next few weeks. And look, Rich, I know sports is our haven from all the other things we worry about, but right. I worry about the aftermath of this election. Whatever happens, however long it takes to resolve it, whatever the outcome may be, does that cross over into sports? Because one thing we've seen this year, issues like that and the unrest that follows can affect sports. And will there be some type of a reaction within football depending upon whatever it is that occurs tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next month?
Right, and one thing for sure, I know you're bringing it up here, is stick to sports is dead, with Jack Nicklaus and Jay Cutler and Brett Favre making their preferences known in a manner that if other athletes did, it would be stick to sports straight down the Twitter feed. Stick to sports is dead.
And hey, I didn't hear stick to sports when Favre made his endorsement. Isn't that weird?
Maybe it is weird.
I just wasn't paying attention that day.
It is weird, Mike. But hashtag stick to sports to me is is dead forevermore. Thanks for the call, Mike. Always appreciate catching up with you and you accepting the invitation to come on. And I look forward to PFTPM later on and every single day Pro Football Talk Live to kick things off here on NBC Sports on Peacock. 22 million subscribers strong. It's good stuff.
Thanks, Rich. Hey, great talking to you, pal.
Right back at you. That's Mike Florio. At Pro Football Talk, must follow, must everything. He just said something that fascinated me. I want to pull on that string and take some phone calls at 844-204-RICH coming up. He said something about the Dolphins and Tua that made me go, okay.
Oh.
Okay. If I didn't have some sort of commercial break hard out that I needed to kind of dance around, I would have pulled on that a little bit more with Mike. But when we come back, I want to talk about that with you guys and everybody else out there. 844-204-RICH. Phone lines are lit. I love seeing that. Back in a moment.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Oh, yeah, baby. Look what's on Peacock. Mr. Mercedes starting streaming right now. The best-selling trilogy by Stephen King. It is a Peacock exclusive drama series. Detective Bill Hodges is coaxed out of retirement in a thrilling chase with the serial killer, Mr. Mercedes. Full episodes available now right here on Peacock. Start streaming today. For all those Peacock executives out there, this is not my first rodeo reading a Mr. Mercedes promo.
They must not have known, huh?
That show like this, born on Audience Network. We are very proud of Mr. Mercedes. All of us. That's not the royal we, it's all of us. Great show. Phenomenal program. And you best, again, put the kids to bed. Streaming right here on Peacock. We're thrilled to be here every single day on NBC Sports on Peacock. And then Mr. Mercedes is a great show. And Stephen King's tweeting about it being great on Peacock. We're excited to be back here on the Rich Eisen Show here on this this very busy Monday, day before Election Day and the trade deadline. Let's go to our friend Manny in El Paso, Texas. Let's take his phone call. Manny, how was the wedding?
Mr. Eisen, it went on without a hitch. Thank you for that.
Congratulations, Manny.
Congrats, Manny.
The funny thing is, there was two fire marshals and two police officers that did show up.
Okay.
Because I guess someone next door knocked on us, and they're looking around. We're like, what's there, a problem, officer? Someone reported that there was too many people. But they looked around. They saw everyone was masked up. And then, no, we apologize. Have a good night. Congratulations.
Okay. Well,
congrats on your nuptials, sir.
Congrats on all that.
Thank you. And we timed it perfectly because the following day, that's when the city decided to shut everything down.
Yeah,
there was a curfew mandated.
I know.
So we stuck with the original date. And God willing, everything went through without a hitch. And we are so happy. I'm trying to get my wife
Yes.
By the way, Seinfeld moment, that's a great way to start a sentence. My wife.
Yes.
My wife and I. But she didn't want to call into the show. She's a little shy.
Okay, look, you've been calling for years, which it's just a beginning of a beautiful relationship between the three of us now, me, you, and your wife, because, you know, there's still room for the Rich Eisen show in your beautiful marriage, I'm sure. So it's okay. It's all good this time.
I showed her the clip on PeacockTV.com, by the way.
Oh, good.
When I called the day before on the Friday. So I had to explain to her what higher register was. Like, no, nothing. It's a joke. It's for fun. Don't worry.
I love it. What's on your mind sports-wise on this day, Manny? What do you got for me?
Well, Mr. Eisen, I had a question. Who gets the hook first? I'm not talking right away, later down the line, but who gets the hook first? Mike McCarthy or Adam Gase? Because Dr. Jones has that look on him like he wants to call the TOD on this. At this point, he looks like he's going to blow up the team for Giannis now. I don't know. He's going to end up getting Giannis as a Cowboy.
Well, I think Adam Gase is unfortunately going to lose his gig in the next few weeks. And I don't think McCarthy's going anywhere. There's a ton of money invested in him, and the Joneses really believe they got their man. And I'll tell you that, and thanks for the call, Manny. Congrats on the nuptials. I will say this about the Cowboys. They were remarkably inventive last night, that they didn't just like, okay, we're going to give this kid eight plays and that's it. They put Wilson, their wide receiver, in shotgun. They put Pollard.
Double reverses.
I know. They put Zeke in shotgun, direct snapping. They pulled out all the stops. And for some reason, the Eagles didn't play him straight up. They were doing all sorts of trick plays themselves from time to time, and Wentz just kept making too many mistakes. And Ben DiNucci had them leading at halftime. Something Andy Dalton has yet to do. So, you know, I want to say this about what Florio just said. And did he just say that the Dolphins, one of the reasons why they are set up, because I pointed out that they have both the Texans draft choice and their own. They got a ton of draft choices coming up. They also have the Texans too, by the way. When they traded Tunsil and Stills to help shore up the offensive line and receiving attack for Deshaun Watson, when Bill O'Brien made that trade on the eve of last season, it was a one in this year's draft and a one and a two in next year's draft. And Houston is a one-win team and a hard one-win team right now. And it looks great for Miami that they're going to have – they could potentially have three first-rounders, because two in the first round, and the Houston's could be a de facto first-rounder that high up on the second-round food chain. But did he say that if Tua doesn't come out of the gate, if Tua keeps playing like he did yesterday, that Miami could be in the position of – getting rid of their starter to draft Lawrence? In the same way that I'm talking about Dart. Did you hear that?
I heard that. That seems insane to me.
Because to me, but Tua is not in the same... Tua is definitely not in the same mold as Josh Rosen. And in terms of Sam Darnold, who, again, it really kills me to say this here. I even dropped it on NFL Game Day Morning the other day because Irv was poking me about the Jets when he wasn't, along with Mooch, poking me about the Wolverines, and I kind of had enough. And I
noticed that. The tone in your voice yesterday was...
Well, again, you know, it was at any rate, I'm a professional. I'm a lead pipe wielding professional.
Well, you did bring up Thanksgiving for Mooch.
Well, I did have to do that when one of the questions for our rapid fire no huddle, where it's 60 seconds on the clock and we're going through. The question was, in 2004, the Lions and the Colts combined for 50 points on Thanksgiving Day. Do they combine for as many today? And I just followed that up, bonus question, what happened after that game in 2004, Steve? And all he said was like, that's really low, Rich. You know,
yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
That's the appeal of you guys, man. Like, you work together so long and you know ways to jab each other and you're not afraid to do them. Live on air.
Well, you did see, again, that we, as you know, we had Patrick Peterson on the show in this very spot, I think, last week, Monday after the Cardinals overtime win on Sunday Night Football. He called into the show and we asked him about his perspective of watching DK Metcalf, who he was covering on the play that resulted in the Buda Baker pick six that wasn't because DK Metcalf ran him down. Didn't he say that he would love to see the simulcam of me on that?
Yes.
Well, you know, our producer, Richard Isico, heard that. Thanks for watching, Richard. Appreciate you streaming on Peacock. They did that yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that they were going to unveil that to start the show. Like a total curveball snapped off at 6:03 a.m. Pacific time.
That's how the show started?
Yes. That's how it started yesterday.
Wow.
So that was a nice little Doc Gooden 12-6 curveball that I had to foul off.
Uncle Charlie.
But it was fun. Look, it was fun and whatever. The reason why I bring all that up is, you know, going back to the original point here, just I guess we're kind of devolving to the original point that the Dolphins, it's not the same as Darnold and the Jets here about getting Darnold somewhere else and starting over with Trevor Lawrence. And again, I said yesterday, that's the point I was bringing up. You know, they were bugging me and poking me. And I just basically said about the Jets, Trevor, get well soon, Trevor Lawrence. And I feel, honestly, part of me is like, during the commercial break, I feel bad because Darnold doesn't deserve that. It's not his fault that the team did not do what they needed to do.
Right.
And the only comparison you can make to Tua and Sam Darnold is Sam Darnold was the last rookie quarterback to suffer a turnover in his first possession as a professional, as Tua did yesterday when Aaron Donald blew him up in his first possession and got a fumble for a takeaway. Darnold, as you know, got pick six
by the Lions
on Monday Night Football and then rebounded.
Yep.
The other two rookies to suffer a turnover in their first possession since 2000, first-round quarterbacks, Jameis in 2015 in his debut, as you know, that went south against Mariota, and Jamarcus Russell when he got a cup of coffee in week 17 in his first season. That's the only comparison you can make to Tua and Darnold, because Darnold didn't win a national championship. The Jets didn't tank for Darnold. They did trade up to go put themselves in a position to be third overall for either Baker or him. They had no idea if they'd be in position for maybe even Saquon at that spot, the way that draft went. The Dolphins absolutely rearranged the entire table for Tua. And we've seen 3 years of Sam Darnold in New York, and clearly he needs to go somewhere else. Tua, this is only going to be 8 games. Would they really not, if they were in this position, would they not say to everybody in the NFC, who wants Trevor, come at us and have draft choices not just for next season, but the next 2-3 seasons galore. And load up for Tua and this team, I'll tell you what, man. Now, I get it. They've won 3 in a row, and I know what they looked like with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I know Tua did not look good at all yesterday. That's what happens with rookies. But I'm gonna do this here. And I know that, you know, hey, Rich, you said Tua's amazing. He's going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. And the bread wasn't even sliced yesterday. He was the one sliced up. But did you see how everyone else played?
Stepped up.
And again, I know Fitzpatrick inspires people, and Tua doesn't play defense or special teams.
Miami
Dolphins, for the first time in their team history, had a scrimmage touchdown, defensive touchdown, and special teams touchdown all in the first half of a game ever. They've never done that before. And they followed up a 78-yard fumble return for a touchdown by Andrew Van Ginkle, a name that made Cooper laugh. Cooper liked the name Van Ginkle. He followed that up with a Jakeem Grant 88-yard punt return just a minute and 17 seconds apart, second fastest for 75-plus yard touchdowns, back-to-back possessions, shortest amount of time, second shortest since 2000. And that was the longest punt return in Miami history. I will say this. Tua is infectious. I'm going to put that on him. Just to double down. Just to triple down on Tua.
Not?
I'm going to put that on him. They might have seen him struggling. We got this. We got it. All phases, man. When it happens, this team's going to be real tough to stop.
And that coach, man.
Who knew exactly... You know, let's take a page from the Super Bowl. He took a Belichick defensive scheme and threw it right at the Rams again, and Goff got swallowed up 61 attempts. That's no good. When we come back, overreaction Monday. Trades are, in fact, happening. We'll update you on that. And your phone calls at 844-204-RICH before Joe Tessitore joins us to talk about calling a big play for his son. We're back here on Peacock.
We got all kinds of moves going on already.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. I don't know what they are, but they cannot be leave anybody more happy than Avery Williamson had to be left happy yesterday by the Jets. We'll hit about that. 844-204-RICH. We'll take phone calls, our poll questions, and more here on the show. And it's all good in the hood. And then, you know, we haven't even hit about the Halloween weekend at all and what it was like in your neighborhood and mine as well. And I've got a great story involving my daughter.
Can't wait.
Like, I mean, just an all-timer. An absolute all-timer.
Note involved?
Huh?
Note?
No, it's, no, no. It has to do... I don't want to give too many teases. It's not written. It's oral. It's something that she did over the weekend. And it's not... It really is next level. Like, I couldn't make it up. Wait till you hear it.
Love it. That's what I'm here for.
And it's also going to leave a song in your head.
Oh, no.
Not Baby Shark. It's not Baby Shark. All right, trust me. Okay. It is not.
Monster Mash?
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
You can't guess it. There's no way for you to guess it in the circumstances involved. It really is like I'm teasing it because it really is that good. Because if Joe Tess is going to talk about his son, I'll talk about my daughter. He's, by the way, he's giving me running for best dad ever.